Said, well, Dig, here, man, if you're going to keep them old tight shoes on, why don't you go on down to the drugstore and get some of them aspirins and repress the pain? Yeah. Dr. Schultz made a multi-million dollar hustle every year selling you stuff to repress the pain so you don't have to take the shoe off. You better deal with the shoe, baby, because the feet, look at your foot tonight, it is hooked on to your body and you ain't going to never get rid of it. So you might as well take care of it, then. Ain't nothing going to come off but that shoe. And it ain't going to be with you 5 years from now, but them feet got to go all the way. So why in the hell are you going to let somebody sell you something that you can keep the shoe on? Don't throw the shoe away. Come get some of these pads. Can't sell you a shoe. Say, it's a little big, but it sure look nice. Let me slip some of these things in it. Something's wrong somewhere. That old STP. You ever use that in your car? That's a repressive force. Damn motor started making noise. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That's a STP. You put STP in the car, don't do nothing but just fix it so you can't hear it. 3 weeks later, your damn motor fall out. What happened? STP. So cat, go on down and get some of them aspirins, repress the pain. He keep wearing that old tight shoe. And one day he take his shoe off and look at his feet, and he got corns all over his foot. You know why? Universal law says, whenever you rub against my own, I will rub back. That's what the corn's all about. And if you continue to wear that tight shoe, the corn will turn into a callus. And if you continue to wear that tight shoe, that callus will turn into a bunion. And if you continue to wear that tight shoe, that bunion will wear the shoe out. Never in the history of man has he ever been able to make a shoe strong enough to wear out a pair of nature's feet. And so I beg you youngsters to understand universal law. Then you youngsters understand you got a big job. You have to really understand where America started from to understand where America is, and then you'll understand where she's going. And if you understand where America is headed today, you know the job you got to do tonight. Meet so many young folks that think us old folks is picking on you because we don't like the way you look, don't like your hair. Well, let me say this to you as one of the old fools. Don't take it personal. You know, I mean, it just ain't aimed at you. Hell, if Christ came to America today with that funny looking hair and that beard and that funky robe he had on when he left, we'd run his ass out of America. And if he would refuse to go, we'd strap him to a peace symbol and roll him off a cliff. So understand, it ain't nothing personal. No, we'd do anybody like that. I meet so many young folks running around talking about, well, the problem is it's a generation gap. They don't know what we're talking about. We know what you're talking about. That's what the problem is. Yeah, if we didn't know what you was up to, we wouldn't be upset. We know what you talking about. And once you young kids in America is going to say to us old fools that morality will no longer be a Brooks Brothers suit and a clean shaven face and a haircut once a week. You youngsters going to say to us that morality will no longer come from without, but will come from within. You know what that means? That means we can't buy malls anymore. We say, I'll be damned. Morality will always be a Brooks Brothers suit and a clean-shaven face and a haircut once a week. And if you try to change that, you're going to catch hell. Look at Chicago in 1968, the Democratic Convention. The hippies and yippies came to town. Who do you think was the most immoral in Chicago in 1968, the hippies and the yippies, or the Shriners when they came to town that year for their convention? Who do you think committed the most adultery and spent the most money on whores and prostitutes in Chicago in 68? The hippies and the yippies or the Shriners when they came to town? Nobody got upset over the Shriners because the Shriners had on Brooks Brothers suits. Shaved every morning. Didn't look like they was doing it. That's all we say. We don't say don't do it. Don't look like it. And that's why we demand the Brooks Brothers suit. And the haircut. Now, once you young kids gonna tell us that that not only will you stay in the same room with your girlfriend overnight, you're going to get in bed with her. And we say, I'll be damned, you're going to get a Brooks Brothers suit first. If you young kids understand what we're saying, we ain't saying don't do it. We just saying we demand you to look a certain way after you get through. That's all we saying. Stay on in there with her all night. We don't give a damn. We did it. But when you get up the next morning, wash your face and shave. Put on your shirt and tie. Brooks Brothers suit on, comb your hair back. And then when you walk out, don't be grinning. Now briefly, while we talking about young kids' attitude, let me get this other thing off our chest too, because we really gonna get y'all in trouble about this. And I want you young people to understand this very good, and whenever you see some young friends that don't know what we talking about, explain it to them. Alcohol always will and always have been the symbol of manhood in America, and don't tell us about them reefers no more. Understand that good now. Reefers will never be the symbol of manhood in America. We've decided alcohol is that symbol. Understand that good. Now, we don't mean to get no hassle with you youngsters about it, but we want you to understand the price we have paid to make alcohol the symbol of manhood. Dig it. It is 9 million alcoholics in America today. You understand the price we paid to make alcohol the symbol of manhood? Understand that good. The third highest cause of death in America is cirrhosis of the liver, which comes from alcohol. We paid a hell of a price to make alcohol the symbol of manhood, and you little freaks gonna smoke two joints and talk about a new symbol. I'll be damned. So we say, understand that good now. There's 50,000 people that get killed on American highways from automobile accidents in a 12-month period. And now those 50,000 people that get killed in an automobile accident, 78% of them gets killed through drunken drivers. Do you understand the price we paid to make alcohol the symbol of manhood? So when we say to you youngsters that pot's bad for you, you know what we're talking about. We don't know if it is or not. We don't give a damn. We know what the symbol is, and damn it, you either gonna take the symbol or you ain't gonna have nothing. When you hear us old fools say that smoking pot leads to harder things, we know what we talking about. How you know, fool? You ain't never had none. We don't need none. We know. We look at that little old beady looking look you get in your eye after you smoke them joints and know it's gonna lead to something else. Alcohol don't do nothing but put you to sleep. Even when you're driving, it puts you to sleep. Y'all always want to be bad-mouthing reefers. If you ain't never had none, how do you know what it leads to? We know. How you think we got on alcohol? We all started on milk first. I beg you youngsters in America today to understand where this country is coming from, understand where she started, and understand where she is. Oh, a lot of people in America got upset over what happened at Kent University. And to be honest with you, a lot of black folks had nerve enough to get upset over what happened down there at Jackson, Mississippi. Just show you how crazy niggas is. Well, a nigger gonna get upset over him shooting in the dormitory down in Jackson, Mississippi, when 4 years before that, that same racist freak threw some dynamite in a black church on Sunday morning and tried to kill everybody in the church. Now, how can you throw dynamite in my church and then 4 years later shoot into my dormitory? And that surprises me. I say to you youngsters in America today, if you understood America, Kent University shouldn't have upset you at all. Read American history. Understand the founding fathers. That's what you got to do. Once you understand that, then everything makes sense. And don't read about American history in the Black Panther newspaper or the Black Muslim newspaper. Get you a white, Gentile American history book, because they run it down, baby. They tell you about the founding fathers. They tell you who they were. They wasn't nothing but a bunch of heathen cutthroats that the king and queen let out of jail because they didn't want to kill them and put them on a boat hoping they would drown. And them dirty, ignorant cutthroats was too mean to die. The fish didn't want them, so it helped them across the Atlantic Ocean. Read the history book. Don't take my word. You'll see who they was. They came to these shores and discovered a country that was already occupied. Now, if that don't let you know what kind of gangsters they were, suppose I walk out of here today and you and your lady sitting in your brand new automobile and I say, sure is a beautiful automobile, I think I'll discover it. I might go all over the world and tell people how honest and ethical I got this car, but you and your loved ones, as long as you live, know how I got it and know what I am and know what I represent. Check out your history. Landed at the Plymouth Rock and shot and murdered their way all the way across to California. Now, once you understand American history, nothing should surprise you. Find out who the founding fathers was, baby. It was a weird, some cats was a weird, sick, degenerate. They, look, if you check out man's behavior, check out anthropology, and go all the way back to the first man and check out man's behavior, you'll find out that man's behavior never differed too much from one man to another man until you get to the American man. That's right. Don't take my word. Check out the history. Check out the pattern of social behavior. This is the only cat in the history of man that had to create a wild woolly west. Never before in man's history was there a cowboy till you got to America. This cat was in such a weird, degenerate bag, he had to become a cowboy. Had to strap two guns to his side. Flip. Right, damn, I'm a cowboy. Kill everybody in town. Stick him up. Cat sitting at the dinner table with his wife and family, two guns sticking on him. My damn Junior, if you don't eat them green peas, I'll blow your damn brains out, boy. And it haven't changed. America still has a cowboy mentality. The number one television in the land for the last 15 years, Matt Dillon. Matt Dillon comes in your living room once a week. You ever looked at that sick, perverted pimp? He represents the symbol of manhood in America. Law and order. Somebody ain't changed outfits in 15 years. And they don't want you laying in bed with your girlfriend and Matt Dillon been shacking with Kitty in your living room for 15 years. Now, I got hip to Matt second time he came in my house. Talking about Miss Kitty. The time a cat called a woman Miss by her first name, you know what he's doing. That ain't no big thing. Hell, Tarzan wasn't married to Jane. At least Kitty got more sense than Jane has. You imagine Jane shacking with a cat in a tree. So I say to you today, understand American history, and nothing should surprise you. Man, this cat was so sick, he had to be a cowboy. Just shoot, bang, 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 bang. I'm the cowboy. Huh? And one day, the cowboys got together and said, we got to do something. Said, we're killing one another off. Said, well, we got to be the cowboy, and we got to keep killing for physical therapy. We might get well. Said, at the rate we're going, we'll wipe one another out. He said, what are we going to do? We can't stop being the cowboy. You know we're too sick for that. Said, well, we can't kill one another no more. Said, what's your plan? Well, we'll get us an engine. Say, what? An engine. Say, what's that? Say, I don't know. We'll create one. And then we'll play Cowboy and Indian. I think it'll be a big game one day. Cowboy and Indian. Who are we going to use for the Indian? Tell that red boy to come here. Come here, red boy. Yeah, what you want, Kimosabe? Say, we're going to make you the Indian. The what? The Indian, boy. You take that gun and run for the hills. And that's how it started. The red man became the Indian. And the cowboy had fun. One day, the red man got fed up. He came to the great white mansion, knocked on the big door. Great white father came to the door. Say, yeah, what you want, Indian? Say, me just come to tell you, great white father, we not gonna be your Indian no more. Oh, that upset great white father. He said, you red-faced, moccasin-wearing freak, who the? Red man say, call me all the names you want to call me, white father. Me not going to be your Indian no more. Oh, rather than the cowboy be outdone, the cowboy jump back and say, ah, I know what happened. Cowboy, we too much man for you, huh, boy? Red man say, we checked your manhood out the first day you landed, baby. That ain't no problem. So you got to admit we some mean hombres. We kill too good. Say, we checked you out when you landed at the Plymouth Rock. We knew what kind of killer you was. That didn't surprise us. We knew what you would do. We knew, white father, you'd rape our women, burn our village down, and kill our kids. That didn't surprise us. Say, oh, come on, Injun. You know we surprised you. You mean you knew we was going to rape your women, kill your kids, and burn your village down? We expected that out of you, white father. Then if you expected us, how come you want to quit? What happened? Great white father, we'll admit we did expect you to rape our women, kill our kids, and burn our village down. But what we didn't expect is after you finished doing all that, we never knew you'd go all the way around the world and try to convince people that red man was the savage. We're not going to be your Indian no more. When the cavalry win, it's always a great victory. When the Indians win, it's always a great massacre. Says, okay, Indian, you don't want to be the Indian no more. We put you on a reservation, kill you anyway. The great white father, you might put us on a reservation, you might kill us, but understand one thing from this day, or whatever you do to us, you'll be doing to a red man and not to your Indian. The red man rode off to reservation. The cowboy got uptight. He didn't have an Indian no more. Cowboy can't be a cowboy without an Indian. Great white father had big meeting in the mansion. Said, damn it, we got to get us an Indian today. We can't go another day without one. He said, well, we went up on the reservation. The red man ain't coming. Damn him. Get another one. Who we going to get? Tell that Jew to come here. Come here, Jew boy. Yeah, what you want? You the Indian boy. We the merchant. You the Indian, Jew. Take that gun and run for the hills. You made a pretty good little Indian because he always had some smarts. He ain't never been no fool. Didn't take him long to catch on at all, baby. Matter of fact, he caught on so quick it surprised the great white father because the great white father didn't know how smart the Jew was. Oh, the Jew hurried up back to the mansion and knocked on the door. Great white father went to the door and said, yeah, what you want, Imee? He said, we had a meeting at the temple. He said, what about, Jew? He said, we decided we're not going to be your Indian no more. Say, okay, Jew boy, you're not going to be the Indian no more. Then you have to do something for us. What do you want to do? Jew say, I don't know. I'll think about it. Great white father say, okay, Jew boy, while you thinking about it, we'll be watching you. And to this day, the Jew is still thinking about it. And the great white father is still watching you. So everything was working, Mella. The cowboy had his game going, except one thing. He didn't have no Indians. And he was really getting uptight, because he'd gone longer without an engine than he'd ever gone. He'd gone 3 weeks, 4 days. Matter of fact, he was getting so upset he was shooting at his wife, stomping at his kids. Great white father had big meeting in the mansion. Said, we got to get us an engine today. I can't go no further. Said, okay, who we gonna get? Said, I don't know, get that Irishman. He said, oh, not that big foot, dumb, clob-hopping bastard. He said, better him than my wife. Come here, Irishman. Yeah, what y'all want? You the engine boy, the what, what's that? Now you just take that gun, Irishman, and run for the hills. And the Irishman made a pretty good little Indian. Now, he didn't catch on as quick as the Jew, but he caught on. And he came back to the white man's mansion, and he knocked on the door. Great white father said, yeah, Irishman, what you want? He said, well, we're not going to be your engine no more. You dumb freak, who you been talking to, the damn Jew? He said, okay, Irishman, if you're not going to be the Indian no more, you have to do something for us. What do you want to do? Well, in order not to be the Indian, we'll do something for you. He said, okay, Irishman, what do you want to do? He said, we'll be your police. Great white father said, you big dumb freak, you, how the hell you going to be the police? He said, you wait a minute. Great white father rushed inside to explain this funny joke to super white father. He rushed into the super white father and he said, hey, come here, Rocky. He said, yeah, what you want, white boy? He said, let me tell you this funny joke. He says, there's a dumb Irishman. He be our police. Super white father said, what's wrong with that, boy? He said, the Irishman, he too dumb. He said, sit down, white boy. Sometimes I don't know how you got in here with us. That's the hippest thing I heard since we landed at the Plymouth. He said, but he too, shut up, white boy. That's who you want to be the police, a dumb one. We'll interpret the law. He'll wear the uniform and the gun. We'll tell him what's right and what's wrong. And anything we do wrong, we'll tell him it's right. And anybody want to stop us, we'll tell him they're wrong. He said, ooh, you sure is smart, Rocky. So it came to pass. The Irishman became the police. Everything was working groovy except one thing. No more engines. Jim, he was uptight. And he had a big meeting. He said, we got to get us another Indian. Got to get him today. He said, we're running out. He said, look down in the valley. There's one. He said, ooh, come here, Italian. Come here, you wop bastard, you. Come here, wop. Yeah, what for you want with me? He said, you the Indian, wop. The Indian, what's that? You find out. Let your monkey go and get rid of your organ grinder. Take that gun and run for the hills. So the Italian became the engine, made a pretty good little engine too. And if you really want to find out how vicious the cowboy is, all of you should read the story of Psycho and Vanzetti. Matter of fact, if I had my way, I'd make it mandatory by law that every American over 12 years old would be forced to read the story of Psycho and Vanzetti. And then you'd have no doubt who the cowboy is and what he's all about. Psycho and Vanzetti. Two Italian immigrants that came to the great America. They couldn't speak the English language. They landed in Boston, Massachusetts. Not only did the cowboy accuse them of a crime they didn't commit, the cowboy accused them of a crime he committed himself. The governor of Massachusetts knew they was innocent. The prosecuting attorney knew Psycho and Vanzetti was innocent. Matter of fact, there's never been another singular issue in the history of man that's created as much worldwide protest as Psycho and Vanzetti. And the cowboy sent him to the electric chair anyway. But it woke up the Italians. Oh, they hurried up and showed up at the mansion. Knocked. Great white father went to the door and said, what do you want, wop? Said, we just come to tell you we're not going to be your engine no more. Said, okay, Italian, You're not going to be the engine no more. You have to do something for us. Italian said, we do anything except be the engine. I said, okay, Italian, how about selling a little dope for us? Say, oh, wait a minute, you just want to get me arrested. Say, how the hell can we get you arrested when we own the Irish police? They can't arrest nobody unless we tell them to. And if we tell them to arrest you, you don't have to do nothing. Well, I don't have to tell you that. That prove that every day. You know damn good and well if Mary Jo had been driving that car and Kennedy's ass stayed in the bottom of that lagoon all night and she talked as stupid the next morning about what happened as he did, she'd been on her way to the electric chair today. Italian said, well, even if your police wouldn't put us in jail, the American people's too smart. You just can't go around selling dope to people's kids and the police not doing nothing before the parents would rise up against us. He said, Italian, let me tell you, we got a plan. We got a plan. We'll have Americans so dumb that, wait a minute, how you gonna have all the people in America that dumb that we can push dope to the kids and nobody get hip and the cops won't bust us? He said, tell you, we got a plan, WAP. He said, what's the plan? He said, it's called education. He said, how's it work? He said, well, you teach them what education really is, and instead of educating them, you indoctrinate them, and they'll never know there's a difference between an education and an indoctrination. Matter of fact, we're going to have it so groovy, there will come a day in America that we'll have the American people so stupid, they will have such a degenerate bag, they will never have the wisdom to figure out how a 9-year-old kid in New York or Cleveland can find a heroin man, but the FBI can't find him. Tell you and say, okay, we'll do it. Say, okay, we got to give you a name. What do you want us to call you? Call us anything. Okay, we'll call you Syndicate. Syndicate. No, we don't like that. Say, okay, wait a minute. We'll get together. Great White Father got together. We got to find a name for this WAP. Say, okay, call him Mafia. So he went back out and said, okay, WAP, we got a name for you. Mafia! You like that? Say, yeah, yeah. Mafia. What's it mean? It means MF. Mafia. Don't mean much now, but it's going to get real famous. Just take it. Mafia. And so it came to pass. The Italian in America, to all of us sick, degenerate fools, became the symbol of crime. Became the symbol of hoodlumism. And while we blamed all the crime and all the vice on the Italians, the real gangsters and the real cutthroats, them great white fathers, they walked the street not only unnoticed, but we recognized them as our statesmen. They start controlling colleges and universities. They decide how much money you're going to get for a grant. They decide who's going to be on the board of directors. And the first time you act like you want to be educated instead of indoctrinated, they'll cut your money off. Amen. So everything was working groovy. All of his great tricks was in order. Oh, he never thought he would have such a groovy thing going. He took everything wrong and made it work right. So he thought. Oh, he was so roguish and bogus, he changed his name from pimp to playboy. And then everything was real groovy except one thing. He didn't have an Indian. Matter of fact, he didn't have no more Indians. And he really got uptight. Great White Father, with all of his things working, he had to hold the biggest meeting ever been held in the history. And the Great White Father got together and say, we ain't got no more Indians. Cowboy can't be cowboy unless he got an Indian. He said, what can we do? We got to stop being the cowboy. He said, you know we too sick for that. We got to get us an Indian. So they decided they choose sides that night, and at 12 noon the next morning, the cowboys would meet at the OK Corral and have a shootout. What a glorious day for America. So they chose sides that night. The next morning at the breakfast table, they sit and looked at one another with the dead eye. They was digging it, baby, the cowboy in his final showdown. 8 o'clock that morning, less than 4 hours to go. And then it happened. Happened at 8:20 that morning. Less than 4 hours to go before the cowboy have a great shootout. And at 8:20, the nigger showed up at the mansion. Knocked on the door. Great white father went to the door and said, "Yeah, nigger, what you want?" "Say, Mr. White folks, we just want to know if we can apply for that engine job."